Well, there was a preacher who had a 5-year-old daughter, and the daughter's preacher noticed that her father always paused and bowed his head for a moment before he began each sermon. So one day she asked him why. He responded, "Well, honey, I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." She responded, "Well, how come he doesn't answer it?" Answer to prayer is very mysterious. We pray for things, and God sometimes answers things in a way in which we do not expect. And that's what happened in today's gospel. Take a look at the gospel from St. Mark, because James and John make a very special request to the Lord, but he doesn't answer in the way that they had hoped he would. So we have today's gospel of James and John, two of the Lord's closest disciples. They were brothers. They were the sons of Zebedee. They were probably the two youngest of all the disciples. The Lord gave them a nickname, the Sons of Thunder. I think because of Mrs. Thunder, their mom, because she was a very feisty woman in St. Matthew's Gospel. She's the one that came to the Lord and says, "I want my boys to have the best place in the kingdom, to the right and to the left." In Mark's Gospel, he emphasizes James and John asking the question. What do they do when they go to the Lord? They say to him, and by the way, this is not the way to begin your prayers, okay? "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you," right? Is that the way to pray to God? Is that the way to begin your prayers? "God, I want you to do whatever I want. I want you to do whatever I ask of you, God." Imagine when you're a parent and your child comes up and says to you, "Mom and Dad, I want you to do whatever I ask you to do." Well, you could say, "Well, tell me what it is first, and then I'll answer." And that's what Jesus does. The Lord probably smiles, and he's very patient with these two apostles, James and John, and says, "Okay, what do you wish me to do for you?" And their prayer, their request is, "Grant that in your glory that my brother and I sit, one at your right and one at your left." See, that was the place of honor, to sit, like at a wedding, to sit to the right or to the left of the bride and groom. That was the place of honor. So in other words, they want the best seats in the kingdom of God. They want to be in the best spot. Why did they ask this? Well, they thought that they deserved it because they were probably related to the Lord. Most likely they were cousins of Jesus. The tradition is that the mother of James and John was the Blessed Mother's sister, which would make them cousins of Jesus. So maybe they felt there could be some good nepotism going on, right? We're related to the Lord, get us some good seats in the kingdom. Or they probably knew that the Lord always picked them. Jesus always picked Peter, James, and John for special things, like to see the Transfiguration, or to see Lazarus raised up, or the daughter of Jairus raised. Whenever there was something special, Peter, James, and John were always chosen. So they felt that maybe this was their chance to get some good seats in the kingdom. What does the Lord say? How does he answer? I think he answers them as God probably answers some of our prayers. "You do not know what you are asking." I'm sure there are people, you probably know people, that they say, "God, let me win the lottery," right? "I want to win the lottery, God." And, you know, maybe he will allow that. Maybe he knows that that would be beneficial because you'll give a majority to charity and to help the poor. But for others, God probably doesn't allow that prayer to be answered because he doesn't want that person to lose their soul. He doesn't want that person perhaps to lose their spiritual life and get so caught up in the money that they forget about the goal of getting to heaven. So Jesus says, you do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I will drink or be baptized in my baptism? The cup is referring to the cup of suffering. And the baptism is a baptism of blood, which would be his passion and his death. In other words, these disciples wanted Easter Sunday without Good Friday. They wanted the resurrection without the passion. And Jesus says, are you willing to join me in my sufferings, to drink the chalice of suffering, to be baptized in the baptism of blood, that I am going to suffer and die? And what is their response? Again, they're so filled with youthful enthusiasm, they say, we can. And then Jesus says, very well, you will share in my sufferings. And what the Lord predicted came true, because James would be martyred. He would be beheaded in the year 44 AD. He was the first apostle to die for Christ. He was killed by King Herod Agrippa. And then John lived to be about 100 years of age. Even though he did not die a martyr, he suffered tremendously for the Lord. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. They tried to boil him in oil, the enemies of the church. He survived. They tried to poison his drink. That's why whenever you see a stained glass window of St. John, he's always holding a chalice with a snake coming out of it. The snake represents the poison that the enemies of Christianity tried to poison him, but he was unharmed. So John also drank the cup of suffering, and so did James. But so the Lord says, yes, you requested something, you will share in my sufferings, but I still can't guarantee you those seats. Jesus says, they've been prepared for somebody else. My own personal opinion is that they're for the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, because Jesus would certainly honor his mother. In the Old Testament, the queen was always seated to the right of the king. And so James and John tried to bump the Blessed Mother and Joseph from their seats. Not a good idea. In fact, in every Catholic church that I've seen, the tabernacle, when it's in the center, usually has Mary to Jesus' right and Joseph to the left. And I believe that's a little reflection of heaven, because that's who will be, I believe, at the right and left of Jesus at his kingdom. Well, the gospel concludes by everybody else getting upset. All the apostles, the other 10, heard about this. And how dare James and John try to get the best seats in the kingdom? You know who was the most upset? It's got to be St. Peter. St. Peter is, you know, is quite a temper. And remember, he was one of the three that was always there. Peter, James, and John. They were a trio. They always did everything together. And now they're bumping Peter off so that they can get the good seats. Peter must have been furious. So the Lord sits everybody down and uses this as a teaching moment. And he says, guys, don't be like the pagans. Don't be like the Gentiles who try to get the best seats and try to lord it over everyone. He said, instead, I want you to be humble and to be a servant. And if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, become a good servant. And if you want to be first among everyone, Jesus says, become a slave or a servant to everyone. So what a great message that is. And Jesus himself says, if anybody could have come to be served, it would have been me. But even I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He died on the cross for us. He gave his life as a sacrifice, as a ransom for the many. And so if you want to be great in God's kingdom, he tells us how to do it. Become a servant of everyone. So every day when you as husbands and fathers wake up, you should say, Lord, how can I better serve my family? How can I better serve my wife? How can I better serve my children? And moms, when you wake up, say, well, how can I better serve my husband today, my children today? And young people, children, ask, how can I better serve my mom and dad today? What can I do to help them? How can I be a better servant? As a priest, we should say, how can we better serve our people, the people that God has entrusted to our care? As parishioners, you should say, how can I better serve the Lord? How can I better serve my parish? As citizens, how can we better serve our community, our country? We have that opportunity in just 2 weeks to be able to exercise that awesome privilege that we have in our country to be able to vote. And that's why we vote, as I mentioned before, with a well-formed Catholic conscience. We vote as a Christian with the mind of Christ. So that's how we better serve our country and our society. So our rewards in life are equal to our service. The more we serve, the more rewards we have in this world and in the next. The Baltimore Catechism said, how do you get to heaven? Know God, love God, and serve God in this world, so you can be happy for all eternity in the next.